Cassidy Kelly was raised in the Chicago, Illinois area. Her interest in veterinary medicine was sparked during a biology class in high school. She earned her undergraduate degree in animal science from Ohio State and is now a first-year veterinary student at the University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine. Cassidy has spent significant time interning at the Royal Treatment Veterinary Center and is the CIVT University Liaison for Research and Student Outreach. Please enjoy this conversation with Cassidy Kelly as we discuss her undergraduate education, introduction to integrative veterinary medicine, and her experiences as a first-year veterinary student. Hey, Cassidy, thanks for talking today.
Hey, of course.
When did you decide that you want to be a veterinarian?
I started thinking that route in high school when we did a fetal pig dissection. Up until that point, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I had a feeling I would go somewhere in like the medical field. I was thinking nursing or something more human side. And then during this biology class, when we got to focus more on animal stuff and the animal side of things, I got super interested in a way that I like had not experienced before. And so I decided, as you know, college applications were coming up, to look into animal science programs, pre-veterinary programs, and I just ran with it and have not looked back since. So happy for that.
Oh, that's great.
Experience, yeah.
Did you have a lot of pets growing up?
I didn't, actually. I got my first like family pet in high school, beginning of high school. Up until that point, we had, you know, maybe like a fish here or a turtle there, but the, you know, main pets you think of as a kid, we didn't really have. So not until high school.
What do you think about that dissection turned you on to veterinary medicine versus just saying, hey, this is cool, but I still want to work on people?
Yeah, I think just I wanted to know more and more and more. Every, you know, organ we would cut into, or different muscle, or like part of the circulatory system, any little piece of that little pig body, I just wanted to know more about. And even when, you know, like that class ended, I just found myself wanting to keep studying that type of material.
It is kind of cool. I actually, we did fetal pigs when I was in high school, and I thought it was a pretty cool experience too.
Cool. Yeah, it's so cool. And I know that in high school, you get to do different types of dissections depending on, you know, what high school you go to. But I was happy to get the experience that I did with the fetal pig, just because I feel like you get a little bit more out of it.
For sure. For sure. All right. So what about undergrad? What did you decide that you wanted to major in, and where'd you go?
I went to Ohio State University, and I didn't apply to too many schools, but I decided Ohio State because they had an animal science program versus other schools. If you're on a pre-veterinary track, you can major in, you know, like biology or zoology, but I found that Ohio State's program was a little more focused. And when I visited the school, they had so many different farm facilities that you get to work in as a student, and the classroom setting just seemed awesome, and all the faculty that I met were really helpful and welcoming, and I just felt at home right away when searching into Ohio State.
Well, I can't disagree with that, being an Ohio State alum. You just went all in. You figured animal science was the way to go versus zoology or biology or something like that. Did you have a fallback? What was going to happen if you didn't get into vet school?
Yeah, I had to. This getting into vet school was my second try, so I did have a year off before vet school, and I didn't have a specific plan. I knew that I would stay at home and work and just get more experience, which I did. I was able to work more closely with Dr. Barbara Royal at her practice and learn more about the things I'm interested in when it comes to integrative medicine. So that was awesome. And I got more involved with, you know, the College of Integrative Veterinary Therapies. But on top of that, I was actually able to tune in back to some of my old hobbies and old passions, like dance. I was able to coach my high school's dance team during that year off and get more involved with some, you know, old teachers and old students and things like that. So I was pretty happy for the way that things turned out when it comes to when I got into vet school and that timeline, because having that year off in between was awesome to have more time to dive into veterinary medicine stuff on my own time, but also to spend more time doing things outside of it, like dance.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. So let's go back to Columbus. Did you like Columbus, and how did you find animal science as a pre-vet major?
Yeah, I did. I loved Columbus. I found animal science simply by just researching the schools and their programs. Like I said, Ohio State was the only one that at the time offered an animal science major versus a biology major. And I wasn't too sure what the difference was. So when I went to, you know, the schools and visited, I just saw more of a focus on veterinary medicine one like within the animal science major, and more hands-on time with animals, whether it's small or large. And up until college, I had no experience really with especially large animals, but I never worked at a veterinary clinic throughout high school like other vet students usually do. I was kind of going in with a clean slate, and I felt the more a school offered when it comes to hands-on opportunity that I would be better off. And that's what I found in Columbus.
Great. So what sort of things did you get to do as a animal science student, say with large animals?
Yeah, I think every year, if not every semester, we had a class where you would go out to one of the farms, because there was an animal handling class, there was a large animal production course. And actually with the production courses, you got to pick out of a handful where that class was basically spending all your class hours at one of the farm facilities, whether that was equine, dairy, beef, poultry, or swine. And through those courses, you really got to dive into a specific species focus. And I decided to do equine production and then small animal production, which was super cool. And I hadn't had much experience with horses, and that definitely enlightened me and had me more interested in that species maybe going forward. And then the small animal production course, we got to dissect a dog and cat, and that was really useful now thinking back, because in vet school, you know, your first year, you're really focusing in on anatomy and dissecting. So I feel like that course really set me up for this year, especially. But other than that, even your first year at Ohio State as an animal science major, you're going into the different farms and practicing things like using a chute at a beef farm, or giving vaccinations at a swine farm, or learning how to pick up a chicken, and, you know, all sorts of things that you don't really know until you do.
Sure. Yeah. So as far as the small animal production, did you go to any, what sort of facilities did you go to?
That one was more just classroom based. We weren't really working with any live animals. It was more learning about the anatomy and different organs and systems within the body of a dog and cat.
I could see where that'd take a lot of pressure off your first year of vet school, though, having been through that already.
Totally. And I remember at the time, this was my senior year at Ohio State, that when I took the small animal production course, I remember feeling so overwhelmed at the time. And again, so helpful, but the things that we learned then and the different muscles that we covered, or arteries or organs, was so like minuscule compared to now. So it's pretty funny. Like, it definitely set me up, but it, looking back, it's like that was so like small compared to, you know, the courses that you're in now as a first year vet student.
Sure. And just thinking of the equine, and it must have been really nice to be able to kind of explore that interest and feel safe about it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because I mean, any large animal, if you don't have much experience, it can be pretty intimidating to get up close to one of the animals, and horses especially. I feel as though you really have to be in tune with your own, you know, mindset and fear tolerance and things like that, because they can really sense it. So that course really helped me just get comfortable, if nothing else, as well as just learning different medical things about horses. But I really liked that course and how my comfort level with horses, and then connected to other large animals, and just increasing that comfort level.
It's really nice to have that experience. You know, just so many people, veterinarians I talk to, you know, have made changes throughout their career, and integrated medicine is one of those things, you know, where you get a small animal practitioner who maybe uses an interest in acupuncture or herbal medicine or even chiropractic to reinvigorate an interest in equine, for instance. You know, maybe they haven't touched a horse since they were in school and they're 10, 15 years out, and it's an opportunity to get back to something that maybe they held an interest. So it's really nice that you had that broad experience before school.
Yeah, totally. I'm always inviting different experience with different animals and different species because I don't really, at least right now, my future career goals are not limited to one type of animal or one type of size. So any type of experience I can get like that, I'm excited about.
Oh, that's great. So did you get to the vet school at Ohio State while you were there?
I did. Well, we got to tour it a few times throughout my undergrad, and their facility is awesome, I'm sure, as you would agree. It was one of the schools I applied to, but I didn't get into Ohio State. But if I did, it definitely would have been a contender.
We should back up and say you're from the Chicago area originally. So when you went to apply for those, apply to vet schools, which ones were on your list? You ended up in Illinois, but what was in consideration for schools to apply to?
Yeah, like you said, I grew up in the Chicago area, and going to Ohio State for undergrad was really cool because I got to get away from home somewhat. It wasn't, you know, a quick drive back to Chicago. It's about a 6-hour drive. So it from high school to college, it definitely helped me with like independence and feeling like I can be away from home. I'm pretty family oriented and my family's close. So it was a tough transition for sure, but one that I'm grateful for. So when applying to vet schools, I had that in mind. I wasn't super like set on trying to stay away from home still. I feel like I got what I needed out of that, but I wasn't also, you know, set on staying near home. So my first round of applications, I applied to a ton of vet schools, one's in the Midwest, one's on the East Coast, one's a little more south. So I think it was like 8 in total. So kind of spanning this side of the country. And then my second round, I decided to shorten my list a little bit because after being home for a year, I decided I'd rather stay near home. So I decided to apply to Illinois because that's probably the closest to me. And then like 3 or 4 more in the Midwest. And U of I decided to go to because the location is nice for me in respect to how far it is away from home, as well as they have a really nice wildlife focus as well as compared to some other vet schools that I had on my list. And I thought that would be a cool component to have during my curriculum.
I see a little bit of Dr. Royal influence maybe coming in here.
Yeah, I would say I have a lot to thank for her, to her. She has been huge in my, just in mentorship when it comes to vet med.
So when did you start spending time at her clinic?
I interned at her clinic for the first time this summer of 2021, I believe. So it was in between my third and fourth year of undergrad. I was supposed to intern with her the previous summer, but COVID had shifted that a little bit. So it postponed it by a year. And it was actually funny. I had to push pretty hard to get involved with her clinic because everything had changed when it comes to COVID and they still weren't even letting clients back into their facility. So they were hesitant on letting in interns because they hadn't in a few years. She usually has like annual interns, whether that be vet students, undergraduate students, veterinarians themselves. But that had been put on a pause because of the pandemic. But I had done a lot of research on her practice. And at that time, I knew nothing about integrative medicine. I was just interested in like physical rehab stuff. And again, being from the Chicago area, she was in Chicago. So I found her clinic and read up about her and she just seemed super interesting. So I was really excited to get involved with her. But then my first internship was postponed and because of the pandemic. And then I was really pushing to have them let me in, even though things looked a little different. And luckily, they decided to have an intern, even though it looked a little different. But I am so grateful for that, because she had, like I said, just been huge in my vet med career so far. So that first summer was the first time I met her, first time I got involved with her practice. And ever since, I've been kind of intermittently working for her, working with her in different projects that she is doing.
So when you first started there, were they letting clients in, or were they still outside?
No, they were not letting clients in. I think they started letting clients in about a month into my internship. It was over the summer. So this was, you know, maybe in like July, they started letting clients back in, whereas I started in like May or June. So things just looked a lot different for them. And it was cool to see that transition of virtual medicine into in-person medicine.
Talk me through what it was like to not have clients in the building. Were you shuttling the patients in and out? Or was there some screen time, you know, talking to the owners? Or how did the logistics work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think the typical appointment looked like a client would bring their pet outside the practice, and a technician or reception would bring in the patient and bring them into an exam room. And then the technician and doctor assigned to the case would be in the exam room with the patient, and they would first call the owner and just get, you know, the history and get just a brief overview of why the patient was in that day for that appointment. They would hang up, they would perform a physical exam and do any treatment or anything that was decided and confirmed over the first phone call. And then after that brief period of, you know, doing things on the animal themselves, they would call the owner again, say, you know, things that they found on an exam or things that they found on blood work, and decide if they need to do more treatment or if that was it for the day. And then the patient would be brought back outside to the owner. And I think, like, you know, ending the appointment would happen over the phone with reception, and then they would be on their way.
Do you think having that, even that month when you first started, I'm sure not having clients in the office gave you a lot of time to talk with the doctors about their thought process and things they were doing. Did you find that helpful to have that kind of alone time with them in the beginning?
Yeah, totally. And just that alone time to see how the doctors and technicians worked together was super helpful and kind of a cool, I feel like the whole time it was just like a behind the scenes type of experience. Not that much happens differently when a client is in the room, but, you know, just a little bit more focused and a little bit more hands-on and seeing treatment being done and all of that. And just being able to like ask questions and not, you know, be nervous about interrupting the flow of an appointment with a client. That was super helpful and definitely something that I don't think many, you know, like pre-vet students get to experience in like one of their first times in a veterinary clinic, because things are just so fast paced and, you know, the client comes first and you want to keep them, you know, up to like within the conversation and keep that flow. So it was cool to have the opportunity to be involved a little bit more as a, you know, intern versus just kind of being on the sidelines.
Exactly. I think it would just be really cool to be able to have that, you know, having taken interns at my practice, you know, you try to talk about things between patients and just to be able to have that extra time, like you said, without the client there, to be able to discuss things in real time, I think would be really helpful.
Yeah. And especially during like a physical exam, just really asking like for one of the doctors to explain like what they're doing as they're doing it in, you know, a way that a veterinary student would appreciate. It opened my eyes in a lot of ways that I don't think would have been the case if things were, you know, quote unquote normal.
Absolutely. So a month later, the gates open, the clients start coming back in. How did that change your experience seeing clients and their pets interacting with the doctors and staff?
Yeah. I mean, also a very cool experience to watch that transition. You know, not much changed when it comes to, you know, like patient care, but things change when it comes to the flow of an appointment. I think at the time, again, the pandemic was still pretty relevant at the time. So when it came to like how many people in an exam room were allowed, that changed my experience, because obviously the most important people would be the client, the patient, the doctor, and the technician. And that's already, you know, three people and one animal in you know, a medium to small sized exam room. So I wouldn't be able to go in the exam rooms all the time anymore. But luckily at Dr. Royal's practice, she has exam rooms with doors that are can like half open, like the top half opens like a window, or you can shut it. So I was still able to be involved in the exams, because I would just like hang out right outside the door, but be able to like listen in and still ask questions and still see everything that's going on. So I'm sure that'd be different at, you know, a different clinic and different clinics that I've worked at, where it's just, you know, that regular full top to bottom door. But luckily I was able to still be pretty involved. But then as clients came back in, my role switched a little bit in the way that I could help out more. Like I would do some reception work and got to see how, you know, that side of a clinic works and like the portal that they would use. I got more, like equipped with just like the technological side of stuff, and then still able to go back with treatment and do things like that. So it changed significantly, I would say, in like maybe what I was doing, but not so much in like what I was gaining.
Sure. Sure. I can imagine it would be nice to kind of get that exposure to the other things and see how history taking person to person in the same room is different than doing it over the phone and that sort of stuff.
Oh yeah. I mean, I definitely know that there were frustrations when it came to having conversations over the phone. I mean, so much can be misinterpreted. So many things can be lost, and, you know, all the connection problems that they had, you know, given in a given day were, you know, just, it was nice to have clients back in, especially when it comes to just talking. I mean, talking in person is so much easier than over the phone. So it was cool to see that like appreciation kind of come back into play.
You bet. And then I guess a little bit on the negative side, spending time in reception, you get to see the difficult job that those people have.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely was able to appreciate their role in a clinic so much more, because they do have such high responsibility for the flow of things, and they carry a lot on their back. So it was cool to be a part of that team.
Oh, I'm glad you got to see that. Yeah. And Dr. Royals is a multi-doctor practice. So that's an actual benefit for you to see how different people work.
Yeah, totally. I spent most of my time with Dr. Royal and then Dr. Stemack as well. And through the two of them, I just learned so much so fast within, you know, just a 3-month span. And it was fascinating to see how different doctors did things differently, but then had, you know, the same practices and same ideologies like overlap. But I think it's helpful to see, you know, different strategies and different techniques done in a clinic for sure. So that was cool to see that.
I bet. All right. Now, you said you had a little bit of rehabilitation interest. Mm-hmm. Had you had any body work or anything for yourself prior to going there?
No, not any. I don't know where that interest came from, but it did come, and it came hard, and I'm glad it did, because it's definitely gotten me where I am today.
Good. Have you had any since?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, not that I can think of.
I didn't know with dance if you'd had injuries or things that needed attention just yet.
No, I was pretty lucky in that way.
Good, good. So, what was your coming in fresh and seeing integrated medicine? What were your thoughts?
Oh my God, I was blown away. It's such a different way of practicing medicine while still, you know, like achieving the same goal. I mean, seeing, like, I was aware of acupuncture on humans, but even in that way, I wasn't super knowledgeable on, you know, like acupuncture itself. And then to be totally like just thrown in the deep end when it comes to seeing it done on animals was probably like one of the most interesting things that could have happened, like my first week there. And then from there on, you know, all the different things that they practice at this practice specifically, but no, I know how this can be connected to just all integrative medicine practices. I was just blown away seeing dogs and cats in the underwater treadmill and just like happily pedaling away and seeing all the different like herbs that were being prescribed in lieu of like a pharmaceutical, but also using pharmaceuticals, like just the balance of everything when it comes to like traditional and integrative medicine. Like I could talk for hours about that. It was so cool. And ever since learning that, I don't think I can ever like switch my mind out of it, because it's just like it's almost just a way of life, not only a way of medicine. And it's kind of influenced like how I treat myself and my own like medical conditions or medical issues. It's changed a lot of how I think day to day. So it was super cool. And I was blown away, like I keep saying.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. All right, let's talk about school a little bit. So you're in your first year. What sort of, are you getting any clinical experience yet in your program? What are classes like?
Yeah. At University of Illinois, they have their curriculum set up where first year vet students can get clinical experience in the second half of their first semester right away. So my first 8 weeks last semester were all in the classroom, studying exams, the whole thing. And then the second 8 weeks were clinical rotations. So I got to every week for 8 weeks, get a different experience within a different, whether that was like a wing of the hospital or like there was a farms rotation, there was a physical exam rotation. So I got a ton of different clinical experience right away, which was awesome. But now for this semester, we're back in the classroom and I'll get clinical experience again my second year.
Great. So is there any opportunity for holistic care at Illinois at this point?
Yeah, just a little bit. They have a rehab department in the hospital that you can have a clinical rotation assignment to. I did not have that this past semester, but I'm hoping to get that because they have an underwater treadmill and I would like to kind of see how they practice things. But besides that, there is a holistic student club that I'm a part of, and it was actually just this year kind of reignited. It used to be a club a few years ago, but I think during the pandemic it got booted just because of involvement and availability and things like that. But this year, one of the second year students decided to reignite that club, and through her, I was able to get involved as a vice president of the club. So it's been super exciting to have a group of people that are also interested in this new, like kind of up and coming side of medicine. And we were actually able to have Dr. Royal come and speak to students as an event. So that's the main way I'm involved with holistic medicine at the moment.
Nice. And is that a student chapter of the AHVMA?
Yes.
Very good. So do you think you'll be able to get yourself to an AHVMA conference?
I would love to. Yeah. Unfortunately, this past conference was during finals, so none of us were able to go, but I'm hoping in future years, I would love to attend one.
Yeah. Remember, there's scholarships available for veterinary students, so
yes.
That could be helpful. So besides Dr. Royal, what other activities did you all do this term in the holistic club?
Yeah, not many, just because it's new and we don't have a lot of funding yet, but we have a lot of ideas. We have some faculty at U of I that practice chiropractics therapy as well as acupuncture and other holistic techniques. So we're hoping to have them come and speak and maybe do a lab where students can come and kind of watch them do their thing. I'm hoping to have maybe Dr. Fougere come and speak about things. So we have a lot of ideas, but the main thing that we were able to get done last semester was Dr. Royal, which is awesome.
Nice. Yeah. So, are you able to continue your dance and things during school? Are you able to handle that during your downtime?
No, unfortunately, I don't have any. It was kind of a random involvement last year when I was able to coach up until that point. I did a student club in undergrad. But besides that, I hadn't really been keeping up with it. So back at school, I decided to just focus on the curriculum right now and maybe find some stuff as the years go on. I do teach jazzercise though. So that's, kind of a fun way. I mean, it's like a fitness class, but it's dance oriented. So that's where I get my fix right now.
That is nice. At least you have some sort of outlet, you know, something away from school.
Yeah.
How big is your class? Your vet school class?
We have about between 140 and 150 kids.
Pretty good size.
Yeah, I think we're one of the largest. And I think U of I has larger classes compared to other vet schools. But I think my class specifically had even surpassed some of their previous class sizes.
Well, let's talk about your involvement with CIVT. How are you helping in that way?
Yeah, I have been mainly, what I started out doing was helping Dr. Royal accumulate some case studies for CIVT to publish onto their website. So a lot of Dr. Royal's patients have been cool stories that some that I've been able to see like from start to finish, and others that I've learned about, and others that are kind of, you know, in the middle of still. So I was able to, since I was still going to her clinic at this time, I got a really good, I had a nice role in the case study work, since I was, you know, seeing her patients throughout the day with her, and I was able to note some that I thought would be a good case study possibility, and or she would, you know, tell me to take a note on this patient. So I started out really helping with the case study framing, and then working with Dr. Royal and maybe some other doctors involved in getting that written up. And then from there, I had helped Dr. Royal with some research when it comes to her courses that she teaches at CIVT. So some of her, you know, topics or different like areas of study, I was able to help her maybe find some literature, find some different information that would help during her classes that she teaches. Let's see, I've been able to form relationships with vet schools. So one of the main roles that I also did was reach out to all the vet schools and look into if they had a holistic club or anything that kind of has to do with integrative medicine, if they had some kind of club or organization focused on that, let them know about CIVT and what they offered, like free memberships to students. And then just form, you know, like create dialogue on that and let them know of what they have available to them and if they have any questions. And then I've still, even now, I try to keep up with that and, you know, at least once a year, get in touch with each of the vet schools and the contacts that I had noted for them, and continue to let them know of what CIVT offers them.
So in relation to that effort, how many schools have you had positive contact with? How many have clubs, that sort of thing?
Quite a few. I would say there at least like a third to half of the schools that I've contacted. And I try to contact everyone in the U.S. at least. So that's about like 35 vet schools, I think. So there were probably about 10 to 15 that had not only had like a club that we can work with, but also just responded with interest. And I think that the numbers show that we did have a little bit more memberships, like people signing up because of finding out about CIVT and what they offer. So a pretty good turnout.
And student memberships are free.
Yep, they are free.
Very good. Cassidy, it's been great to talk to you. I want to let you get back to your studying. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk. I'm really interested to see how your schooling progresses, and I'll definitely be back in touch and see how things are going.
Yeah, thank you so much. This has been awesome. So super happy that you reached out.
All right. Enjoy your day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This podcast is made possible through the generous support of the College of Integrative Veterinary Therapies. CIVT provides world-leading education in natural medicine, including 3 accredited postgraduate qualifications, industry-recognized certifications, and a wide range of evidence-based courses and webinars delivered by qualified and experienced practitioners. By bridging cutting-edge science and tradition, CIVT helps you to expand your treatment options to tackle your most challenging cases. And whether you're a veterinarian, veterinary technician or nurse, animal health professional, or someone who wants to learn more, they have the right course for you. Investigate their offerings at civtedu.org. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd appreciate if you take the time to tell a friend and to give us a favorable rating on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for your support. We'll see you next time.